Psalms and Psalm 40. Psalm 40. I didn't know I was going to have to speak to the children as well, but it's always nice. So we just ask the boys and girls, listen carefully as we would read these verses and speak from it. You know, God's got great purposes for boys and girls as well as men and women, so there's lots that we all need to learn. Let's read a verse in Psalm 40, verse 7. Psalm 40 and verse 7. You know that these are prophetic words spoken concerning the Lord Jesus. Psalm 40 and verse 7. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Now, I want you to notice especially verse 8. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Now let's turn over to a very familiar verse in the Epistle to the Romans. Romans in chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, we'll read a couple of very familiar verses. Verse 1 and verse 2. Romans 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God will bless to us the reading of His Word. What I have before me this afternoon then for this little time that we have together is to look at these two passages and to think of the subject of the will of God. Now I don't know how you feel individually as Christians, but one thing I would like to stress to everyone this afternoon is that we all need to know more of the will of God, and there needs to be desire in our lives to know that will and to do it. So let's just think of some things in connection with the will of God. I want to give you 3 points. One, I just said, every Christian should have a desire to know the will of God. Secondly, every Christian should have a determination to do the will of God. Now, brethren, knowing and doing are two different things. Every Christian should have a desire to know. Every Christian should have a determination that you're going to do the will of God. And then, all of us as Christians should know something of a delight. As the Lord Jesus prophetically has spoken of here, I delight to do thy will, O my God. And so I just want to challenge our hearts this afternoon. There should be a delight in doing the will of God. So let's think of 3 things in connection with this. First of all, I would like to take up with you, in connection with the will of God, just something concerning the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. These words of Psalm 40, written concerning Him, would remind us of the teaching of the Epistle to the Hebrews. But in any event, you look at that lovely verse we read there, I delight to do thy will, O my God. And I want you to think for a few minutes of the will of God in relation to the Lord Jesus Christ. Could I tell you this? That the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to this world was the will of God. The life that the Lord Jesus Christ lived upon this earth was in accordance with the will of God. And the death that the Lord Jesus died upon Calvary was in accordance with the will of God. Everything about our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, brethren and sisters, was completely in accordance with the revealed will of God. And you and I as Christians ought to take that as an example and set it before us. And I want to say to you this afternoon that if the will of God was so important in the life of the Lord Jesus, then the will of God should be very important in the lives of you and I who are saved. I said to you, His coming was the will of God. And so we have read here, it is written in the volume of the book of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Do you remember that the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 6, and if you want one book in the Bible that will give you much on the will of God, you read John's Gospel. John chapter 6, the Lord Jesus says, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Now what is the will of God? What was the will of God in sending the Lord Jesus? And what does the Lord Jesus mean when he says, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will? My concern as we think of the Lord Jesus is this. Are you and I as Christians, are we motivated to know the will of God? And are we motivated to do the will of God? What was the will of God for the Lord Jesus Christ? If you were to turn to 2 Timothy in chapter 2, or rather 1 Timothy chapter 2, you would read that God will have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. That's the will of God. That was the will of God in connection with the Lord Jesus coming down from heaven. God's will was that all men might be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Would it not be true then this afternoon that the will of God for you and for me might be to seek to win others for Christ? To seek to be the kind of witnesses and the kind of people in this world that we might see others won to Christ and know God's salvation? That's the will of God. And so the Lord Jesus could say, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Not only was his coming then the life that he lived. And again, if you were to turn to John's Gospel, do you remember the story of the woman at the well in John chapter 4? You remember that the Lord said something that even his disciples, I don't think they understood it. There, when they were puzzled as to why he spoke with the woman, he said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. It seemed then the very thing that was the Lord's sustenance, that would keep him going throughout his life, was doing the will of God. Now I wonder if you and I know anything of that kind of determination or desire, of doing the will of God daily in our lives as Christians. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me. And again, when we think of the Lord's words, as we read them in John chapter 8, I do always those things that please him. Now that's the life of the Lord Jesus. I do always those things that please him. And so Christian, there in the life of the Lord Jesus, coming to do the will of God, living to do the will of God, then you think about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Was it not the will of God? Again, I want to take you to Luke 22 and think of Gethsemane's garden. You remember again the Lord there when he would draw aside from his disciples, entering into something that they could not enter into, going through a sorrow that they could not know because they didn't fully appreciate what was before them. There he could say, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. What was the will of God? The will of God for the Lord Jesus was all the anguish of Calvary, all the sufferings and all that Calvary entailed. But think of those lovely words again. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Now I want to challenge you this afternoon, and I want to speak to my own heart as well. Is there within us any desire whatsoever to know the will of God? And you think, brethren and sisters, when you think of Gethsemane again, you think of what was before the Lord Jesus. It wasn't an easy thing. It wasn't by any means a bed of roses. But it was the Father's will. And the will of God the Father was all important in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's the way that it ought to be for you and I as Christians. We need to know God's will and we need to do God's will while we live here upon this earth. It's not so much looking ahead and seeing the problems or weighing up the costs, but it is walking in a way that is pleasing to God. And so now I'm going to ask you very simply, do you and do I as a Christian, do we have that desire to know the will of God? Do you remember what David could write in Psalm 42? As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul for thee, O my God. And again in Psalm 143, teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Now, brethren and sisters, there's a man of God, and there's one that's bringing before us verses of Scripture, a desire to know the will of God. The Lord in the Sermon on the Mount, you remember in Matthew 5, says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And David was a one that thirsted to know more of the things of God and more of the will of God. And I ask you, do you have that kind of desire to know the will of God? I'm going to give you three promises that the Lord Jesus gives in the Bible in connection with those that know and do the will of God. If you were to turn, first of all, this afternoon to Matthew 12, you would read these words. He that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother, my sister, my mother. And so what does that verse mean? He that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. My dear brethren and sisters, that little verse shows us the divine light of family relationship that we have with God the Father and with the Lord Jesus by doing the will of the Father. You remember that the Lord Jesus says in John chapter 7 again, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine. You know, that's one of the most precious promises that a believer can get a hold of. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine. And there's divine light that the Word of God will shed to you, that the Holy Spirit of God, through the instrument of the Word, will reveal to you the will of God. But I want to say this to you kindly and plainly this afternoon. You must have a desire to know God's will. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine. One of the reasons there's so much ignorance, so much darkness, even amongst Christians, is because there's so little desire to know the will of God. You were to go back this afternoon and think of the basic steps of Christianity. If you were to think of the time when you got saved, why, there at the very beginning, the first fundamental step, you knew God's will when you were brought to an end of yourself and you had that revelation of Christ to your own soul. You knew then God's will was that you be saved. Ah, but Christians, you were simple then, weren't you? You were brought down, you were humble then, weren't you? You didn't have any pretensions about yourself or any pride then. You were brought down before God. And that's when you knew God's will. And when you were just saved, then you read from the Word of God and you see something simple as baptism. And there's that eagerness and that desire in your life and you want to do whatever it is that God wants you to do. Mind you, you don't understand it all, but you want to do it. And then you see baptism as simple and clear as anything and then you want to get baptized. Well, that's God's will for the Christian. And you go ahead and you get baptized. And it just goes on like that. And as you have that desire to know the will of God, you begin to see that assembly fellowship is God's will. Gathered to the lovely person of the Lord Jesus. I tell you, listen, it is the most simple thing that you and I can ever appreciate, but the most precious thing that we will ever know. This lovely truth of following a scriptural pattern of being in the mind and the will of God. Gathering as we did this morning and appreciating the wonderful person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's God's will for a believer. But Christian, it doesn't end there. God's will is that you and I might, as children, go on and grow and know the things of God. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine. Now I'm asking you simply and plainly, do you have a desire to do God's will? I hope there's nobody here this afternoon, but I want to say this kindly because I know the truth of what I'm saying. But I hope it's not true of you that you've reached a point in your lives as Christians where you're into a rut and the will of God doesn't really matter that much anymore. You're just going about things in a routine way. Well, you keep in your mind, somebody has said, you know, a rut is only a grave with both ends knocked out. And Christians don't get into ruts. Keep simple, keep happy, keep humble before God. Keep as you were when you got saved, that simple desire that you want to know God's will. Keep reading and praying the Word of God. Keep the Word of God before you. And keep going on in such a way that your desire in life is to know what God wants you to do. Your desire in life is to live for God and seek to show Christ to others. So then John 7 tells us, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine. But you know, John, when you turn to John's epistle, 1 John 2, I believe it's verse 17, you read this lovely verse. He that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven, abideth forever. And I tell you, brethren and sisters, if we have divine light, and if we have divine life, when I look at that verse, he that doeth the will of my Father abideth forever. Why, I think of the divine love that John the Apostle writes about. Can you imagine you and I doing the will of God, and that's the promise of Scripture, abiding forever in the wonderful presence of the Lord Jesus, knowing him for all of eternity. Isn't that an incentive in itself that we might want to do the will of God? Is there that desire this afternoon? Search our hearts. You know, my mind goes back and I think of an example I'll give you. Maybe you've heard it before. But you know that there are many, many an individual, and they start off simple Christians, and their desire is to do God's will in their life. One of these was one of the greatest missionaries of an earlier age. Do you know the story of a man called C.T. Studd? Maybe the children have read his books. Listen, could I speak to you children that are over 50 this afternoon? Or maybe children over 30. When you get a chance to read books like Hudson Taylor, C.T. Studd, whatever, you read them. Read them and appreciate them. Just read them for the simpleness, the beauty of what they contain. C.T. Studd was a man that grew up in a very wealthy home in England. He was a well-known and respected cricket player. A man that had the world by the tail, if I can use that phrase. A man that had everything going for him. In a book written by C.T. Studd, you'll find a picture of a young boy. And that young boy stands before one of these great English mansions which his father owned and where they lived. C.T. Studd got saved. And after he got saved, so important was the will of God that he went out for the Lord to be a missionary. C.T. Studd went to India, later to Africa. You read the book by C.T. Studd, you'll see another picture. Not a little boy, a wealthy little boy, standing in front of a fabulous mansion. But you'll see a picture of a man in the jungle of Africa, standing in front of a little tent, standing with a clothesline strung between the trees and washing his own clothing. What has touched my heart is this. To think of that man, and underneath these words, esteeming the riches of Christ, far greater treasures, the reproach of Christ rather, far greater treasures than the riches of Egypt. Can you imagine a man like that? Said of C.T. Studd these words, some like to live within the sound of church and chapel bell. I'd like to run a rescue shop within a yard of hell. There's a man that's willing to forsake everything, all for the will of God. Christians, is there a desire in your life to know the will of God? Thomas Huxley said one time, it doesn't take much of a man to be a Christian, but it takes all there is of him. And that's what God wants from us. Everything that we are, every bit of our being, with a desire to know the will of God. Now, in a very practical way, how can a young Christian or how can any Christian know the will of God? Listen, the revealed will of God for you and for me is given in the Scripture. You learn the value of the Bible. The Bible is a book that is being forgotten. The Bible is a book that is gathering dust in too many Christian homes. I said Christian homes, not unsaved ones. The Bible is becoming a neglected book. Learn the value of learning the will of God in the Bible. The thing that will keep us happy as Christians is when you are with a clear, simple, open mind before God. You take this Bible, the Word of God, and as a dear old lady told me, I shouldn't say old lady, she wasn't all that old, but anyway, a dear lady told me just after I was saved. She gave me a principle that I've never forgotten. Whenever I opened the Bible, she said, pray first. You know, it must have stuck in my mind. Because I have found ever since then, whenever I open the Bible, before I can ever start reading, I've got to close my eyes and just ask the Lord to help me. But learn that simple principle, Christian. Take the Bible, the Word of God, and ask the Lord to help you. Tell the Lord what you are. Just a poor sinner saved by the grace of God. And you need help. You need light. You need to know God's will, and it's in the Word of God for you. Don't you ever get yourself into the rut of reading this Bible trying to prove somebody else wrong in an argument. Don't you ever get yourself into the rut of trying to read this Bible just so you can better somebody else. You learn to read God's will so that you might know God's will. This Bible is filled with examples of great men of God and women of God as well. And they would learn by the Word of God. You remember in Joshua 1, what was it Moses could tell that man, or rather the Lord could tell Joshua there? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Joshua was told to meditate in it day and night. We're not doing that anymore, are we? And the purpose of it was so that Joshua might walk as he ought to before God. You remember the psalmist could tell us Psalm 119? Is it verse 11? Thy law have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. That's one of the verses that bothers me when I read it. Have you thought of that verse? Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Why, it seems to me, just by reading that verse, that if I don't know the Word of God and the will of God as revealed in this Word, it's very possible that I can be sinning against God. How is that possible? Why, very simply, if I don't know the Word of God and God's pattern for me, then I'll be walking in a way that is not right. It'll be wrong in God's sight. And I might not even know the difference. But the reason is because I haven't got in to find the Father's instruction for me. Learn, Christian, the value of the Bible. Joshua was a man that learned the value of Scriptures. You know the story of Daniel. And we think of these men and we say they were great men of God. So they were. But you remember Daniel, a poor man in the land of Babylon. Daniel was reading the book of Jeremiah. And learning from the book of Jeremiah, he found that 70 years of captivity were ordained of God. Now how did he know it? He knew it by reading the Scriptures. That's how he knew it. You go to the book of the Kings and you learn of a man called Josiah, a king. And Josiah gets a copy of the Word of God. And immediately he wants to get into that Word. And as he gets into that Word, he begins to find out principles and things of God. He found out about the Passover. And he found out about certain things concerning the law. And that man's desire then was to know and to do the things that he found out. Now I'm only telling you that for this reason. These were people that God used in a bygone age. And they learned the value of Scripture. They learned that they could know the will of God by getting into the Scripture. Have you learned that? Listen, Christians, whatever you do, learn the value of Scripture. and learn that you and I have the Holy Spirit of God as our teacher. Every Christian needs at least three teachers. Keep that in your mind. There's the teaching of the Holy Spirit. Learn the value of that when you're at home and when you're all alone with God on your knees. Learn the value of the Spirit of God teaching you the Word of God. Then learn the value of assembly meetings, because I believe with all my heart an assembly is a place where Christians need to be taught. You come to the assembly meetings, Christians, with a desire to learn the things of God. Do you come with that kind of attitude? Those that are able, you come realizing that others need to be fed. And I'm not throwing stones at the assembly here because I don't know very much about you. But when you come to the assembly, especially as I look at you here in Dawson Creek, you look at the younger ones, what a need there is to teach and to encourage and to help them. Don't come grinding axes. Plenty of room for that in the world. There's too many people doing it. You come realizing a responsibility that younger ones need teaching and need help. And go over the basics of Scripture. Encourage them all with the person of Christ. Seek to present to them the will of God. And Christians, don't make the Bible reading, the assembly Bible reading, some kind of big theological debate. People don't need theology. What the world needs is Christ, and what Christians need is Christ. We need to know the will of God as the Lord Jesus did the will of God. So learn the value of these things, and Christians, learn the value of the assembly meetings. And be as faithful as you can and attend them and seek to encourage and to help one another. Then learn the value of special types of ministry meetings. When there are those that are able to help you, if there's a conference, whatever, when you can get help at all in the Word of God, Christian, get it. And learn when you can get help from others. You know, it's a lesson that I've learned, and I hope I keep on appreciating that lesson. I meet those that I know have been on the road a long time, and I know that they can teach me an awful lot of things. So I tell you, we need to know this will of God, and you need a desire to do it. We read here in Romans chapter 12. I just want to touch these verses quickly. It says here, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. If you ponder these verses, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now I want to make a statement to you. You take it kindly. It's no good for you to want to know God's will unless you are determined to do God's will. Now, have you got that kind of determination? You must, as Christians, be determined to do what God wants you to do. That's the only way you'll be happy as a Christian. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, we don't have time to go into the different parts of this verse, or these verses, but likely you've gone all through it before many times. But maybe just a little thought here and there. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. You know that the Old Testament was a dead sacrifice, wasn't it? By the time it got to the altar, it was dead, but the Christian is a living sacrifice. It says holy, well, the Christian is holy. We belong to God. Acceptable unto God. Why you and I as Christians should be a sacrifice acceptable unto God is more than my mind can take in, but I know it's only because we've been saved and sheltered by the blood of Christ. But then it says here, and there's one word that always bothers me. That is that word at the end of verse 1, which says, which is your reasonable service. I understand the word means your intelligent service. Why would God use a word like that? Your reasonable service. We're always doing unreasonable things. But when I think of this word here, you and I so committing ourselves to God, and so wanting to know the will of God and to do the will of God, and here's this Bible speaking of us, consecrating ourselves to God, and saying it's a reasonable service. Well, you know it's only reasonable because of what God has done for us. My brethren and sisters, we don't look at it that way, do we? That's the way God sees it. And then the Lord in verse 2 gives us three wonderful points. Be not conformed to this world. And I tell you, if we're not going to be conformed to this world, there's got to be a dedication of our lives to the things of God. There's far too much being conformed to the things of the world. Way too many ways we're becoming just like the world. Walking like the world, talking like the world, living like the world, worldly ideas and worldly ambitions. Be not conformed to this world. Brothers and sisters, get in your mind. This world is headed for the flames. The best that man is going to do is going to be destroyed before God. And you know that it's only what's done for the Lord Jesus is going to last for eternity. Be not conformed to this world. We are to be conformed to the person of Christ, not to this ungodly world which crucified Him. Learn the value of that. But then it goes on to say, be ye transformed, not conformed to the world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, there's one thing the devil's after in this world. He's after the believer's mind. He's after the minds of everybody. We live in a world where people's minds are being corrupted. 2 Corinthians 4:3, you know the verse says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds, not the eyes, blinded the minds of them which believe not. Satan is out to blind people's minds. And here the Bible says to the Christian, it tells us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Well then, if we're going to have a transformation and a renewing of our minds, then our minds had better get settled upon what God's will is for us. We better learn the value of the will of God. We better learn, as Philippians would bring before us, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We'd better set up our minds upon heavenly things and upon the person of God's Son. But it goes on to say here, that ye may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. I want you to notice these three words. Good. Why, it's good if you and I reflect the Word of God. It'll be good in that it will be shown outward to others. And then it says it is acceptable. Brethren and sisters, the word acceptable ought to tell us that it is something that we should accept within ourselves. The will of God is good in that we show it to others outward. The will of God is acceptable in that we ought to want it inward. The will of God is perfect in that we ought to show it upward. That you might know, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I ask you again, is there in your life a desire to know God's will? Young Christian, is there? Is there a determination to do God's will? Verses 1 and 2 of this chapter is a challenge to the Christian not to be conformed to the world, to be separated from the world, to be transformed by knowing the mind of Christ and the will of God, and to learn to prove. How can you prove it? You can only prove something when you try it, when you put it to the test. I'm challenging you this afternoon. You get to know God's will and you put it to the test by doing what God wants you to do. What this world needs, let me tell you again, is Christians that are committed to the person of Christ. Christians that want to know God's will, and Christians that are going to do God's will. I wanted to give you just an illustration, then we'll close. I suppose every one of you have likely at some time in your lives heard the phrase, nail the colors to the mast. Now, maybe you're a long ways from the sea here. In my life, I one time was very interested in the Navy, and I spent a few years when I was unsaved in the Navy. I learned a lot of old Navy traditions, old things I never should have learned. Old things I'm not going to bother to tell you. But anyway, there is one that I appreciated. And that's the one about nailing the colors to the mast. Do you know where it comes from? Well, in the old days of the wooden sailing ships, the British Navy used that phrase. And the color simply means the British flag. Whenever a Navy ship went into battle, it was an understood thing amongst navies of the world that if a ship lowered its flag, then that ship was surrendering. That was the signal of surrender when the flag went down. Now, British ships were taught not to surrender. But you see, there was a problem. Lots of times in these old wooden ships, when the cannons started firing and the balls went flying through the air, sometimes the ropes that held the flag up, the rope would get struck and the rope would break and the flag would go down and the enemy would say, well, they've surrendered. Well, the British Navy found a very nice way to overcome that. So whenever these old wooden ships went into battle, the captain would say, send for the carpenter. And along would come the carpenter with his hammer and his bag of nails. And they would take every flag that they had and up the mast he would go one by one. And the wooden mast and the carpenter's nails, he would nail the flag to the mast. Now let the ropes get cut if they want to. But the flag won't go down until the ship goes down. And so that's the phrase, nail the colors to the mast. Christians, what God wants in this world is Christians that are committed and that know God's will and are going to do God's will. And Christians that are going to show the colors of Christ to this world, to the city where you live, the people around you. We're going to do it in such a way that it's not a flag that's going to drop at any minute. But that flag and the colors of Christ are going to be so fixed upon our lives that let come what will, let the devil attack and let the stones fly around us, we will so be committed to the will of God that when the colors go down, it's because we've gone. And we'll be gone to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. I delight to do thy will, O my God. That's the words concerning the Lord Jesus. Christians, whatever we do, when it's your time and mine to go out into eternity, make sure that we can look back and say, that we have done the will of God. Probably we could take a few minutes and sing number 87. Number 87, I want to thank you for your faithfulness in the meetings. Brother Ken said short notice, but we thank everybody that was able to get out. It's certainly been nice to be with you. Now remember the gospel meeting tonight. I see there's a few empty chairs. It'd be nice to see them filled, wouldn't it? And there's lots of room up here for the Christians to sit along the side. I'm sure Brother Peters and myself, we won't walk on you if you come up here and sit all around us in the gospel meeting. So you just try to encourage so many people in that the Christians are going to have to sit at the front. Let's sing number 87. I bow me to thy will, O God, and all thy ways adore. And every day I live, I'd seek to please thee more and more. Number 87.